Hi.
We probably start the same every time. Me going, hey.
I think we do.
I think that's like my tradition at this point.
It is.
I'm all about traditions. Just kidding.
I love traditions.
I do too. They're really nice. They're very grounding. I actually talk about it in my notes for this episode.
Woo. I'm so sorry we missed last week. Sorry. I have actual guilt about that.
I was just sad. It just all, everything just crumbled, but you know.
We're trying our best.
We are.
And we're learning.
It's Mercury retrograde, you guys. Shit happens.
excuses, but we're learning.
No, I've been talking to everybody. Everybody's been down in the dumps, okay, these last couple weeks. So there's a lot going on in life right now.
There is, which is why this has been such a theme for me.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about spirituality today. And if you're like, oh God, bear with us because we are not going to be Bible thumpers here forcing anything on you.
So spiritual talk, let's get spiritual in the most welcoming way possible. That's kind of the basis of spirituality to me, is that it should be extremely welcoming and it should be personal.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up in a house with very strong religious beliefs, religious background. And in a way, I'm grateful for it because it introduced me to the concept of larger spiritual entities and faith and prayer and things that are deeply helpful and meaningful in my life now. But I definitely felt growing up very disconnected from the way that a lot of spiritual concepts were framed and delivered.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like things were way too harsh, critical, judgmental, and exclusionary.
Polarizing too.
Yes. I just, in the older I've gotten, the more I'm like, anyone who believes in a higher power or feels deeply connected spiritually, in my opinion, should be then open to other people's paths being what they are and looking unique to them.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about your own life, it's weird because on the one hand, we are our own biggest critics the vast majority of the time. But then also on the other hand, I think something that religion does a lot is excuse certain negative behaviors of your own if you consider yourself a part of a larger group.
Judgment, particularly.
And then projects blame and fear onto anybody that you don't claim as one of your own or as pure or whatever. So like your own actions could be really harsh, really judgmental, really harmful, or dismissive of other people's truths, or ignorant, hateful. But I think a huge problem that happens when people are really strongly tied to their religion is that they hide behind it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And excuse harmful behaviors and words as righteous.
Yeah. There's nothing, no bigger
they
of
cloak
a juxt-
it, yeah.
Yeah, there's no bigger of a juxtaposition than someone doing something harmful in the name of God.
Yes.
There's truly nothing that makes less sense than that sentence right there.
Yes. You know?
Because we grew up in a very Catholic household. Both of our parents were Catholic, and our mom's mom, who also helped raise us, she was a very prominent figure in our lives, was a saint.
Mm-hmm.
A strong Catholic woman. But she really acted on her goodness, and she lived out the goodness of God kind of in her life through advocacy work and
walking her talk.
She helped anybody who needed it. She would help the poor. She would help the blind. That's like something in the Bible discussed. And so that's kind of an analogy, but also she actually would help really anybody, you know?
Yeah. And on our way to school in the morning, she would pick people up on the side of the road who needed a ride, like random people.
There was a guy named Dan, who my sisters, when they're listening to this, they're going to laugh, but there was a guy named Dan. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And she would pick him up all the time. She had people staying in her house sometimes, which I'm like, Graham, no.
In the world we live in today, that's tough.
I know. Thankfully, 25 years ago when she was doing that, 20 years ago when she was doing that, it was...
Well, no, I think she got lucky.
Yeah, she
did. That worse things didn't happen.
She did.
But it really does tell a lot about her heart. And
yeah,
the fact that she wasn't preaching, we need to do right by others, we need to care about other people, we need to help people, we need to prioritize goodness and love
mm-hmm.
in the name of God. She was and against a lot of negative feedback, her own kids being like, what the hell? This is dangerous. This is this, this is that. People are going to take advantage of you. She did not give a fuck. She was like, if they take advantage of me, they take advantage of me. I feel it's my priority to do right by people and to give what I have.
Yeah. She was a prominent member of the church that she went to that we grew up in. And she was saying earlier, but I'm very grateful for the foundation that was laid for us in spirituality. And, you know, in my teens, I think I really rebelled against it. It's overwhelming when something is kind of being forced on you that you don't fully understand. And you can tell that there are parts of it that maybe don't align with who you are, but then also you don't really know who you are. So just in general, I think that's kind of a time in life when you rebel just generally against what your parents want you to do, you know, and want you to think. But then at the same time, what was so interesting was Ryan was in the situation he was in, and he had this spiritual awakening in the middle of his prison term that coincided with me being a teenager and kind of being like, ah, fuck that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just too much. My mom particularly is an amazing woman. She thinks in terms of spirituality, and a lot of the advice that she'll give along the way is based in going to God and reading the Bible and so on and so forth. And sometimes it can be overwhelming, and this isn't news to her if she's listening to this. You know, we have conversations all the time about me being like, I need tangible advice. I hear you, and I am going to God and I am praying, especially now. We'll get into kind of where we're at, but I need you to be my mom right now and tell me what to do in this moment on earth, you know? So, but I'm very grateful looking back. And we talked about traditions a couple minutes ago, and I have fond memories of, you know, Christmas time going to church and stuff. So there's a lot to it that I'm grateful for, but
I don't know that I think of those memories as fond.
Really?
I think of them as forced.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Now I think in my life, it's like, you know, you rewrite history.
Mm-hmm.
You rewrite how things went. Mm-hmm. So now that I don't have to do anything that I don't want to do, I think of them as fond memories. But if I was obviously still under the iron fist that was, we go to church every Sunday, I would probably be like, oh God, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I would say Ryan's spiritual awakening was the most major influence on my decision to open myself up to that world and see what naturally flowed into me.
Yeah.
He's definitely the reason why I never closed myself off fully to spirituality, because he and I aligned on so many things.
Same.
I finally felt like I had a model for somebody who could genuinely care about the depths of humanity and feel an obligation to speak on the harms of society. And not just in regards to incarceration, but in regards to racism, sexism, bodily autonomy for women. Ryan had really strong
progressive
values and views on life. And he was also deeply spiritual. And I think that was something I really needed to see,
mm-hmm.
because what spirituality had been linked to my whole life was rules and regulations for how to live.
Mm-hmm.
That to me felt extremely oppressive and didn't allow for individual freedoms to exist. And I wanted to see people freely express their sexuality, mm-hmm. freely express themselves as they truly were, like whoever people are authentically to their core. I wanted that to be validated
mm-hmm.
and allowed and celebrated, honestly. And then, you know, the older I got, the more I learned about politics and learned about how people were really living, you know, even just thinking about poverty in our country and how such a core tenet of religion, especially the religion that we grew up with, Catholicism, Christianity, is about helping the poor, helping the needy. And then I would look around and I saw so little of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw so much judgment and blame cast on people who were suffering. For their suffering, as though everything that's ever happened to them is their fault
mm-hmm.
and their responsibility to fix. And that's just not true or real or compassionate or kind or loving at all. To me, that was the opposite of what I thought Jesus's whatever,
yeah,
you know, message was supposed to be if everybody's, you know, walking in this, how, what would Jesus do? Which isn't the language that I use in my mind with spirituality. I don't think like that. But if we are going to talk about Jesus and what those messages were supposed to mean, I believe I heard many times in Sunday school how much we're supposed to, you know, who the, what's the first person to throw the first stone? Like, you don't
he who cast the first stone. It's basically talking about like throwing stones in a glass house kind of situation, right?
Yeah. It's basically like, if you've never sinned, then go ahead and judge, ahead and throw a stone.
Yeah.
But you can't, because you have.
Yeah.
And so that concept has felt so lost to me as I have perceived religion growing up. And so to see my brother stand so strong in his views about allowing people to exist as they are and opening ourselves up to various different truths about life and about believing people's experiences when they try to explain them to you, mm-hmm. and about meeting people first with love rather than first with judgment. It's just, he really opened my mind to what spirituality could be,
mm-hmm.
and that I could essentially write my own rules for what felt authentic to me in practicing spirituality or in just learning about it and figuring out how I wanted to incorporate it into my life, if at all,
yeah.
which I have now. But at that time, it was really just opening a window, opening a door for the possibility to be there for me to find an authentic path and spiritual journey for myself.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about Ryan's, you know, we're calling it spirituality, but he was a deeply religious person.
Yeah.
He read the Bible front to back like 8 times. He believed in God in a different kind of way. And I've said this before to her so many times in private, but when you see someone who has suffered unimaginable things in their lives and they continue to, they're in the midst of their suffering too. It's not even like they're out the other end and they're able to look back and be like, God is so good. He protected me and blessed me through this. They're in the middle of their storm, you know, and his steadfast commitment to God being so good and protecting him and loving him despite all of his flaws and all of the things that he thought were wrong with himself and all of his, you know, sins, for lack of a better word, is the same way we all sin, was so inspiring. And you can't not pay attention at that point. And, you know, we grew up with a dad who suffered unimaginably before the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And his faith wavered throughout life to a certain extent, but he really remained steadfast in his faith. And I think some of that has to do with my mom and her presence in his life. You know, our parents met when they were 16. So they've been together pretty much for the last 50 plus years. And my mom's mom was a big part of my dad's life because my dad didn't have parents, which was part of his suffering. And so I think that those forces in his life guided him deeper in his spirituality. But he's also somebody that I remember being a teen and kind of thinking, there's got to be something to this. Because even with my half of a frontal lobe, you know what I mean? I'm able to understand that the life experiences that you've had just at my age as a 16-year-old, let's say, you know, I don't know how I could have done them and I don't know how I could have dealt with them. And you still stand so strong in your faith. And you know, my dad has crazy stories of kind of testing God, honestly, which is an interesting thing. That's an interesting topic to talk about.
It is
the idea of testing God. And I've done it before.
Me too.
I've done it before.
It doesn't work every time, but it has worked.
It does not work every time, but it has worked. And I deeply believe that it only works when you really fucking need it.
Yeah.
But he has really powerful stories of testing God and him really being reaffirmed in that faith. And it's so confusing when you look at different organized religions or just different people who have strong or loud voices in the matter, and there's so much judgment in the root of what they're saying. That just does not compute in my brain. You know what I mean? It does not compute at all. Because for me, God is love. And so cheesy, but it's really true. You know, it's like the ultimate protector and confidant kind of for me, of just being like, even last night I went on a hike and, you know, it was a pretty stressful week. It's been a pretty stressful couple months, but definitely this last week or two. And I was just walking in the woods and I was saying, God, please, I don't know how to handle this. I don't have it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't fucking have it.
Yeah.
And
I think that what you're getting at with it's hard to hear people speak with such harshness while identifying as religious,
mm-hmm.
to me, just a very clear boundary that is unethical and not aligned with spirituality in my mind at all is if you are ever using God as an excuse for any behavior mm-hmm. or thoughts at all,
mm-hmm.
that to me is a very clear no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that anyone who allows religion to be a reason to hate or to remain ignorant
or
has completely lost the plot, like entirely.
Yeah. I was talking to someone the other day, a little bit of a veer off, who owned a vegan deli. And he was saying that he's 90% vegan, but he isn't this person that goes around and tells everyone that they need to be vegan. He discovered his body feeling amazing eating plant-based. And so he opened this place with his wife. And, you know, I really appreciated talking to him because I was just saying the world needs to see people who are comfortable with not such strong, like rigid barriers. You own this entire company. You love veganism, but you're also not projecting any kind of judgment. And I just think that in general, our world has gotten away from gray area and comfort with gray area and
just tolerance.
Yeah.
That's not even gray area. It's just tolerance.
Yeah.
For people expressing themselves uniquely and differently from you.
Yeah.
Or just being unique and different from you.
Yeah. And I think that we as people look to find things to kind of contain us a little bit kind of and make us feel safe in, like, I'm part of this. That's why we seek community and group and stuff. I mean, part of it, you know,
yeah,
part of the reason why. But I just think that we can really get away from individual. I mean, we definitely can get away from individual thinking, and it's to the detriment of all of our lives because we start to project what we think we believe onto other people and that they should think that. And
also just to belong.
Yeah.
We project certain ideals and cling to certain ideals to feel safe within a group,
yes,
like what
exactly.
you're saying.
Exactly.
And another aspect of that is I think identity is so important
mm-hmm.
for humans. And the more labels we can create for ourselves, the stronger we feel identity.
Yeah.
But that's also really dangerous because it's really rigid and it doesn't allow for you to evolve in not just your understanding and perspectives on life, but in your ability to be flexible and love and be soft when meeting new information mm-hmm. or new people.
So true.
And I know a lot of people who don't believe something unless it happens to them.
Yeah.
And then once it happens to them, they're desperate for everybody else to believe them. To believe that certain things aren't your fault necessarily, they just happen in life, or believe that certain systems are built in certain ways to protect some and oppress others. And until you experience those things in your life, I think it's really scary to listen to life experiences that you don't understand or that you can't relate to at that point in time and open yourself up to the possibility that it might be true and
yeah.
that you might have to adjust your internal belief systems.
Yeah.
And what does it mean if I adjust my internal belief systems? Do I not belong anymore to my religion, to my community? Will I not fit in? Will I be judged? Will I be cast out? Can I still believe in God if everybody around me who believes in God does not agree with me on this? Like, does that make me, what does that make me?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is such a danger of groupthink and religion in general, is the fear of stepping outside of the boundaries that the community has drawn around what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
And deciding for yourself what you believe is kind, compassionate, loving, and righteous.
Yeah.
And standing in that against criticism.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. This is I don't know that I would even call it a blind spot, just a realization about myself recently in terms of religion is I had a conversation with my mom a couple weeks ago. We went to dinner together And I had been struggling pretty bad kind of in that week with just some personal stuff. And so we were talking about that and just kind of where I'm at in life in general. And she told me, I really think you need to read the Bible. And I had this visceral reaction. I was with both my parents, and I had this visceral reaction of being like, no, you got to give me some other advice because I'm not reading the Bible. Sorry, I'm just not there. You know what I mean? And she was so kind of just asking me questions of like, why? And my dad was kind of backing me a little bit of just being like, okay, you know, she told you where she's at and like what she feels comfortable with. But it was so interesting to me to kind of see that, because I do think my belief in my faith has grown for sure in the last year. And I think as I've gotten to know myself better over the years and gotten more in touch with my intuition, it has led me to, I deeply, deeply believe in divine timing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard. That faith is hard, you know, because things happen and it can be hard to understand, but I do really believe in divine timing. And I was really interested in how visceral of a reaction I had to not reading the Bible and kind of what that told me about where I'm at of still, I still feel some resistance to that energy that I feel like I got when I was a kid, you know, or when I was a teenager that I...
But really, what do you think it would say about you if you read the Bible? Like, what are you rejecting about what it would say about you? Because the Bible's just a book.
I know. And I had a friend.
So much intense meaning on the Bible because people live and die by every word in the Bible.
I know.
But the Bible's just a book.
And then it cracked.
I read so many books and take so much wisdom from them and don't think that the people who wrote them are God himself or herself, whoever you imagine that power to be.
It's basically just a book of stories.
Yes.
A book of stories.
And if you read it, you would get to say, I don't like the energy of this story, if you wanted to say that.
Well, and I had a friend send me some Bible verses a week or two ago. And I was cracking up because...
I'm not the friend. No, I didn't send her any Bible verses.
No, she is not the friend. She is not the
friend. I just know the backstory.
And it was cracking me up because I was like, man, I'm kind of getting ganged up on right now of reading the fucking Bible. You know what I mean? And I'm fine with that. I'm the one thing I will say about myself is that I'm willing to change and I'm willing to try something new. It takes me a second with trying things new, but I'm willing to change my mind. I'm willing to change myself and try something different. You know?
That doesn't mean you're not going to meet any resistance though either.
Yeah.
Like I don't think as human beings that being flexible all the time for everyone or for most people is that natural. I do think that we have to practice mental flexibility and emotional flexibility and releasing the hold on our belief systems. Sometimes we don't even realize the belief systems that we have. Like whatever internal belief system and resistance you have about the Bible, you're not necessarily walking around thinking about it every day. Then it comes up.
This is so interesting. I'm going to answer the question that you just asked me. I think it would say about me that I'm a really, really religious person, which I think in my mind
is
sitting
negative.
Here with you, that
you believe
that carries
negative
connotation in my mind based off of the experiences that I've had with people who blindly follow organized religion, kind of, you know what I mean? So I don't want to be looked at as a Bible thumper, which is not, I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud of that.
Because that's judgmental too.
Because that's judgmental. Yeah. I'm judging a group of people that, and I
align with you on this, by the way. I'm also, it's hard for me not to feel judgmental of that as well, because I'm judging the judgments that I hear from a lot of people who speak about that. But that is another thing that I wanted to say, and then you can please go back.
No.
This came up earlier, but I really didn't want to interrupt you. But also a lot of the reason why there are so many intensely negative connotations with religion and spirituality, but religion mostly, is because you always hear from the loudest people.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about the guy with the vegan restaurant and how subtle and gentle, but warm his approach was to introducing a plant-based diet to people if they were open to it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not trying to shove it down your throat 24/7, guilt trip you into it, or make you feel like a bad person if you don't partake in his lifestyle choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a hard thing about religion, is that you hear most often from the people who are most passionate and most forceful and oppressive with their thoughts.
Yeah.
And that puts a dark rain cloud over the entire community, mm-hmm. over the entire religious community. When it is 100% certain that there are thousands and thousands of people who practice religion and religious traditions and align with a certain religion strongly, but who are also tolerant and loving, and they aren't in your face about their beliefs. They do give others space to believe what they believe, mm-hmm. and come to their beliefs in their own timing. And but you're not hearing from those people because they are respectful.
Mm-hmm.
So that is so tough, because we hear from the loudest people on both sides, and all of it is a turnoff.
Facts.
So,
but yeah, no, you are so on the money with that. My judgment of them is exactly what I resent as a pillar of organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
Intense judgment. Who the fuck am I to tell you who you should date or who you're attracted to? I don't know you, and I don't care. I really don't care. And I personally believe that people were created, if we're talking about sexuality, in that. So God created them perfectly. That's what I believe.
If you believe God makes no mistakes, you have to believe that God has made no mistakes with the individuals that he's created and their knowing and understanding of themselves.
You know, what was a really interesting thing that someone said recently, and I actually can't remember who it was. Someone said recently that there was a conversation around, well, if, and this is such an understandable, often had conversation with people who don't really believe in God, is if there is a God, why do terrible things happen? And someone said, but there's also a devil.
That's tough.
So there are evil, negative forces at play in all of our lives too. You know what I mean? And in the world, at least, I'm sorry, that's my belief.
Do you? Do you believe in the devil? I don't know that I believe in the devil.
Oh, really?
I don't.
Oh, we've never talked about this. That's
I don't know that I do.
Okay, walk me through this.
My thought process?
Yeah. We've never talked about this before. I definitely believe there are evil forces at play in the world, for sure.
I believe so too, but I don't know that I believe in like a separate entity that is the devil necessarily. Mm-hmm. I'm not fully developed on this, but...
You haven't like written like a thesis or anything?
A dissertation?
I was about to say. That's crazy. Why?
No, I do think that we should define what spirituality is for each of us individually after I say this, because I think that that part is missing from the conversation. But I think that spirituality is about connection, intuition, growth, humility, love and compassion, faith over fear, wisdom to override or rise above your worst impulses. And I don't know about the devil as much as I know about fear. So for me, certain life circumstances not only inspire a lot of fear, but piled up trauma and oppression and negative life experiences that alter your perception on human relations and how people should treat each other based on how you've been treated, mm-hmm. and your ability to respect other people's safety and value and respect your own value,
mm-hmm.
and the safety that you should be entitled to. As an individual, I believe that those perceptions on life can get very distorted based off of our experiences and passed down trauma. And I don't know that I attribute generational trauma or even evil in the world to one negative entity called the devil that inspires all of that.
Yeah, I hear you. I've never really...
I think that it's about soul development. And I do believe that all of us... My spiritual belief is that we have a lot of lessons to learn, and our choices that we make in life are in direct relation to the lessons that we need to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that what happens to us, I don't know what I believe about what happens to us.
Yeah.
Because I have zero interest in assigning responsibility to an individual for what has happened to them. I think that that's really predatory and harmful, and it absolves us as a society for our responsibility in what's happening to people who live in our communities. So I would never be like, oh, what's happening for you to you is for your own soul development. I think that that's another part of spirituality that's really important to me,
yeah,
is that we get to make meaning of our lives for ourselves and by ourselves.
Yep.
And then it's extremely irresponsible to try to make meaning out of somebody else's suffering for them.
So true.
So ignorant, so minimizing of that person's life experience, and so condescending.
Yeah.
And no, arrogant.
I couldn't agree more.
But I don't know. What's your thought on devil?
Well, I guess, you know, it's weird because I do think of God as a bright individual entity.
Mm.
And I don't really think of the devil as a dark individual entity. I just think about general evil and darkness in the world that comes, you know, you hear the questions of, see, this is such a sticky thing to get into, of if God is real, how could a mom lose their young child to cancer?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Such a fair question.
Such a fucking fair question,
mm-hmm,
you know? But then again, for me to assign like that there's an evil entity at play that's plaguing that person, like that doesn't feel right to me either. I just feel like there is general darkness in the world as a living entity. And I think that the light drowns out the darkness ultimately, or it can, and it has the power to. But yeah, this is actually a really interesting topic or interesting conversation that we're having right now.
I think that we have the power to be light individually.
Hell yeah, we do. We are light.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Not to be cheesy, but it's true. We are.
Yeah, I don't think that we are supposed to know the answers to all of that. I think it would be really arrogant.
But then
to think that you could know why child cancer exists.
Yeah, it would be very
like
arrogant.
That's crazy to think that I would never have a good answer to that. Anytime somebody asks me, well, then why are people dying of poverty? Fair. So fair.
You got me there.
So fair. Well, because I don't think that there's a responsible answer to that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's my business to assign meaning to that. I approach spirituality in my individual life to help me exist.
Yeah.
As peacefully as possible in my brain and in my body, to find support when I'm struggling. I use it as space from my ego,
mm-hmm,
so that in every situation, I'm not pressuring myself and looking to myself to be the end all be all of knowledge and performance. And you have to do this right now. Like, I use it as a buffer from that voice to hopefully allow a different voice to come in, which is a little kinder, a little wiser, more forgiving, more patient for me to find a solution to whatever I'm struggling with.
Yeah.
And yeah, it helps me to feel led and relieved of so many of my burdens when they're out of my control, because that will cause me to go crazy if I am desperately grasping on to the concept of myself being my own savior in situations where I actually have no control,
yeah,
over the outcome of that situation, yeah, anyways. Like, that will drive me to feeling so wildly, recklessly out of control.
Same.
Emotionally and otherwise. So
that's really what spirituality is to me, is knowing that there's something so much bigger and so loving at play, kind of, that's always guiding me and taking the pressure off of me having to know and understand everything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't bring myself here. And I think that life in general, I can get very caught in we all can get very caught in our own minds and our own little worlds. And knowing that there's something like an entity out there that created me in his perfect image, kind of, you know, and then that's also an interesting thing to talk about too, is my journey with self-judgment and kind of spirituality, because if I do believe that I was brought here perfectly, then I have to honor that shadow self too as a plan of my life and a plan of who I am and not shun and judge that person, you know? So, but yeah, I look at spirituality as a release, as an escape from control, and as like a refuge, a safe refuge of knowing that there's something way bigger at play. And I've watched it in such powerful moments in my life. Things, I think this is a part of the Bible. My parents growing up would always say, God, open the doors that no man can open and close the doors that no man can close. And I think about that all the time. And that's constantly at play in all of our lives, is things happening that with as much force as I could have used, don't feel that I ever could have made happen, you know? And again, that's just my experience and something. And I also think too, like anything, once your eyes are open to it and you're looking for it, you will find more of what you're looking for. Once something is kind of on your radar or your curiosity is piqued. But for me, that's really what I go to spirituality for. And I'm very much so. I mean, I was just telling you guys that I'm still averse to reading the Bible. And there's so much that I'm kind of just trying to figure out for myself of what I ever want to be a part of a community, an organized religion community ever. I have no idea. I don't, as of right now, I'm not a part of any community and I don't have any plans to, but it's very interesting to think kind of where this will morph to.
I feel like even without organized religion though, having some sort of spiritual belief system in your life, it does still give you somewhere or something to align with.
Oh my God, yes.
If I'm in the midst of a dilemma and I don't know how to handle it, I return to my values, which to me is a spiritual practice. You know, like, what do I believe is loving and kind in this moment? Or what do I believe is tolerant and flexible in this moment? Or what do I believe I'm contributing to or I've been contributing to in this moment that is misaligned with my values? So even without a larger community and a million voices, it still aligns me.
Yeah, same.
With something that I feel I can look back on at the end of the day, regardless of any outcomes of a situation, and feel confident in.
Mm-hmm.
And connected to, regardless of whether or not an outcome in the short term seems like it served me or not.
Yeah.
Because we're always going to feel pain. I also think that if we blame spirituality and blame everything else for our pain all the time, I just don't know how productive that is. I don't think that there is not a life without pain.
Yeah.
So to me, the concept of blaming what I believe is a kind, loving energy for my pain would only prolong my suffering, because of the way that I personally look at spirituality is in the midst of pain, that's where I go for solace and support. And so if I were projecting blame onto that energy, I would have nowhere to go for solace and support, I guess to my loved ones and my community, but even then.
But we're so limited in our knowing and understanding.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm working on myself like a project every day, and I feel like I've tapped into 5% of what is me and understanding. And, you know, the hope is that you get to the end of your life and you've picked up as much as you can and you've dug up out inside of yourself as much as you can. But we're so limited as humans.
Yeah.
In our understanding of big shit. You know what I mean? And that's what kind of keeps me coming back in such a huge way too, is just I get so overwhelmed and I need somewhere to share that overwhelm in that feels like there's a plan in place. Like, I do think God has a plan in place for me. That's my personal belief system, you know? And sometimes I just have to release my humanity to this higher entity and be like, I don't know, but I'm lost and I just need some help. I just need some guidance and I need some help, you know, bigger than even just tangible advice in a moment.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that for that reason alone. And even if it's just a placebo effect in moments, my heart often feels lighter after I give it up.
It's so important to, in terms of a placebo, what works for you works.
Yeah.
I don't prescribe to the belief that you have to know and understand exactly why something works for you all the time.
Yeah.
Especially regarding something like faith or belief in something that technically we don't know necessarily. I feel I have proof.
Same.
From my life experiences.
Same.
But if somebody else feels they have no proof, I think that that's equally fair. So to me, having to justify what works for me
mm-hmm.
is unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much we don't know about everything, about life and our existence. And that's part of the mystery of everything. That's part of the confusion and the fear and the wondering about what the fuck we're doing here. But I feel it's really powerful when we find our paths individually. That's something that I think is absolutely crucial with spirituality and for it to stick, is that you find it in your way, in your timing, and you practice it in the way that feels honest and true to you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Like, I don't think that it works otherwise. Unless you're willing to completely surrender any questions you might have about anything or any nagging feelings of, maybe I don't totally agree with this. If you're willing to surrender all of that and just completely align yourself to a group and not question it, not wonder about it, then I guess it might work for you. You might be able to live that way. But for me, the warmth of my spiritual practice and belief system right now comes from the fact that I've kind of earned it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have built my belief system based off of moments of true love and relief and what has felt like connectedness and proven support and relief in my life.
Yeah, I absolutely could not agree more. I do think you've earned it, and me in my own way too. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for just the curiosity, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
The budding curiosity of being inspired by other people's faith journeys and figuring out what works for me. And
I love hearing about other people's beliefs.
Same.
It's so interesting to me.
Same.
And I love if someone says something that really hits me between the eyes. I love taking bits and pieces from other people's experience and incorporating it into my understanding of myself or my life or how I want to treat people, how I want to exist. Like, I love hearing about other people's experiences.
Yeah.
I don't have to align with all of it either. Like, I just love seeing people find their own safe space.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go.
I see you, girl. You be plugging.
It happened at the last second.
Yeah.
I thought of it.
But no, I agree. I totally agree in that it's inspiring to watch someone be an individual and mm-hmm. walk down their own path and be courageous in expressing their beliefs. And I love it.
Yeah.
I love to see people find themselves and what works for them. And I love to do the same for myself. So
yeah. I would say to anybody who is curious, I think maybe you should test God.
I'm so into testing God.
In your way. And what I mean by that is, however feels natural for you to approach it, to just take a couple minutes whenever you have free time and try to relax as much as possible. And in whatever way feels most authentic to you, just ask to see what you need to see.
Mm-hmm.
Or ask to hear what you need to hear or anything like that, and then just leave it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're curious, that could be a really cool thing to do. And if nothing comes to you in the following moments, hours, days, totally fair. It's your thing. But
yeah,
I've found that that has been a really rich experience in my life, is to ask for something, question, are you real, and see what comes of it.
Absolutely.
And if you're not into it, you're totally not into it. And honestly, that's exactly where you're supposed to be right now. And if you're ever supposed to open up to it at any point in the future, I think that it will be made apparent to you in your emotional landscape, or it'll just nag you mentally. However it shows up, it shows up. But yeah, maybe this life for you is just totally about going it on your own, or going it with whatever community you feel really connected to, and learning the lessons that you're supposed to learn in that way. And that's, I think, totally fair. And non-threatening to me. I don't think that we should all be threatened by each other.
Yeah. You do you. What works for you. As long as it's not hurting me and mine, enjoy your life.
Totally.
Freaking enjoy your life.
Well, TBD on the devil.
Yeah, literally, like we're going to mull over this. We're going to mull over this.
Not sure.
To be honest, I've never really questioned whether the devil was real or not until I was today years old when I questioned whether the devil was real. So I'm really going to think about this.
Come to your own conclusion.
If my mom listens to this, though, I'm going to get fucking paragraph texts. The devil is dead. Just kidding.
Yeah, you might.
I might. I might, honey. We're going to be on a group text.
I've talked to mom so many times about the differences between my beliefs and hers. And she's actually, you know what? Been very tolerant of me having different beliefs. I think she would be way more hurt if I had no beliefs.
That's so true. She would be perturbed if you had no beliefs.
Yeah. But, you know, as overwhelming as it can be to hear people out when they have really intense belief systems, I feel like that's what we're missing in this world right now.
It's so true.
I feel like if we ever want anyone to be able to broaden their perspective, it's only going to happen through love and tolerance and them witnessing another way of existing that might be impactful.
I agree.
Or through tragedy, which we have absolutely no control over. So the only way that we can contribute, I think, is through loving kindness and compassion. And guess what? I really need to work on that.
Same. Let's do it together.
Okay.
Love you.
Love you.
We're going to go watch the Laker game.
Yes.
Go Lakers.
Okay, bye.
Bye.